Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody, to the No BS Bishop. I'm Bishop Randy Dean here with Alive to Love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into BS, bait and switch, things that go toward manipulation, shaming, blaming. Love alone, Hans Urs von Balthasar said, love alone is credible. Love alone will leave us with purpose and give us purpose aside from all of our other shenanigans in life. So I come in here week in and week out to just unpack with you the principles, the pilgrimage, and the journey of love. I want you to hear that carefully. Love is a pilgrimage. It is not a once-for-all arrival. There's no such thing as, well, I just love everybody, and then walk away from the topic. That's impossible in my way of thinking. In my way of thinking and what I'm proposing here is that this subject and this topic of love is long, long since been left on a shelf with just a wink and a nod as if we really get it. And if we did really get it, our world would be a different place. So I come in here and I give you my principles of love, my lists of how to love, how to unpack, and how to manage love in life. But one of the things I do every week is to share with you love's creed. It is a creed I wrote, and it's something that I believe is vastly important, at least on a baseline, to hang on to and to manage in our lives. So if you'd like a copy of this, you can send an email to me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be happy to send you a copy. But if you just would just join me right now in the reciting of this creed, a creed of love, the love's creed. I'll give it to you in total, and then I'll come back and we'll repeat it like vows at a wedding altar. Here we go, in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. So there you have it in total. Now let me give it to you in small bursts so you can recite it slowly and savor the meaning with me. All right, here we go. I'm alive to love. Repeat after me. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I'm so determined to be a part of living that creed out, giving you whatever I can here and in other venues, something to grab a hold of and to manage in your life, to sort through and to talk through with the friends, have coffee with somebody, sit down and commiserate the losses of love that you've experienced in life. Talk about those things. Don't just pretend that they didn't hurt. Don't just walk away and say, well, that's the way it always is. You know, you try to do your best and you love, but you always get hurt. Learn how to create a vulnerability structure in your life so that there are a few people, not everybody, but a few people with whom you can be truly honest and vulnerable. Somebody who knows you and can just hear you. I live a purpose right now with people my wife and I lovingly call spiritual refugees. And we promise them, because these are folks that have run from the brick and mortar of church. And I hate to say it, but it's true. Many times they've left the place that was supposed to be known for love because there was no practice of love there. And so we've found spiritual refugees. I think Jesus taught us to do that when he said the good shepherd leaves the 99 in search of the one. And so I want to be a good shepherd. So we've been out searching for the one and putting them on our shoulders and bringing them to a place where, and this is my point in bringing this up, where we can love and listen. You know, if those two practices were deepened in our experience, if just those two practices, loving and listening, we could change our world. Not in one fell swoop, but in little slices at a time, every day. Imagine a company of people, thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, who just committed to be loving and listening without agendas, without finger wagging, without lecturing. And this is one that's a occupational hazard for me, without preaching. I know, I'm a preacher. I'm called to preach. But preaching in its best is when you herald good news of great joy, which is for all people. Preaching at its worst is shaming and blaming, trying to BS people toward your goals and your thoughts without giving them the opportunity to ask good questions, to love and listen. So here's what I want to share with you today. I'm convinced, you know, it doesn't take any kind of research at all to recognize the political and ideological separation and bitterness of our time, does it? I think that we all instinctively see it, smell it, taste it, run headlong into it. I'm recording this on the week of Thanksgiving, and I know some families are holding on tight. Are we going to make it through Thanksgiving meal without a political argument? Are we going to be able to have any conversations without some kind of religious battle? We are living in a time where the bitterness is a setup, I believe, though. I believe this bitterness, this divide, this chasm is a setup for a discovery of the practice of divine love. The little epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, says God is love. Love is God. Those who love dwell in God, and those who dwell in God dwell in love. And he who loves is born of God, is what 1st John says. It's an amazing little epistle, and it is a call to discover the practice of divine love. I believe in, and I've said to people, God loves you. I believe that. But sometimes I think we offer that as an aspirin when people might need chemotherapy. Sometimes we say, here, take two aspirins, God loves you, and call me in the morning. When in reality, the sickness of soul is so deep, and it's so pitted into a heart, into a life, that just that cavalier, casual, bumper sticker approach to spirituality is just not enough. And in fact, it's almost antagonistic. Well, God loves you. Okay, now what? And what I believe now what is to learn a practice of divine love, to deal with hot topics of our day. I mean, the hottest of all topics. You pick them, whatever they might be. Make a list of 10 of the hottest topics of our time. And learn from the perspective of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Rabbi, the one, the Son of God, who came to demonstrate this is who God is. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. That's not a salvation formula. That's an announcement of who God is. You don't come to understand God unless you come to see this massively beautiful figure whose name is Jesus Christ. From that Christian perspective, I believe it's time to learn how to default to Jesus' one commandment, right? One commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And that requires a divine practice of love, a divine practice of divine love. so that we can deal with the hottest topics of our day without recrimination, without shaming, without accusation, without being harsh and cruel. I just believe we simply must abandon all of our shallow methods, whether they're doctrinal or political or philosophical, so that we can invest our energies in a healthy and joyous practice of love. A healthy and joyous practice of love. This is, in my life, what I'm determined to spend the rest of me for. To spend my remaining days in calling people into a joyous and healthy practice of love. To recognize that this practice of divine love is going to take all of our lifetime, and yes, even eternity, that no matter how much I think I might know, I'm going to have to carry this forward. I'm going to have to find out how to practice this divine love. Now, you know, here's something I know for an absolute fact in my lifetime, and that is love is the heavy lifting. People say, you can't just love. You got to do other things. Listen, I disagree. I believe love encompasses all of the other practices. I think love is the Rubbermaid container that holds the practices. In fact, in the Apostle Paul's 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, the famous love chapter, he says you can do a lot of things. You could even move mountains. You could give everything you have away, and you could even be burned at the stake and not love, and it is nothing. So if all those practices are nothing without love, then maybe we better stop running after all the other practices, spending our energies there, and find a way to invest our energies in the best container for all other practices. I know there are other practices. I know you have to have hope. I know you have to have faith. I know you have to practice some kind of humility. I know you have to practice certain kinds of other disciplines as it relates to faith and religion. I understand that, but when it's without love, it is nothing. It just devolves to nothing. And then I find folks that will say, well, love is just so easy to say. And I agree. But let's not only say it, let's practice it. Let's be a determined company of people. Those of you listening to me, I urge you to join me to be a determined company of people to discover the divine practice of divine love. One of my favorite quotes of all time is from Mother Teresa. Actually, it's two. She said, we cannot do great things in this world. We cannot do great things in this world. And, you know, just full stop for a moment and consider what she just said. Well, here's a woman who has done some of the greatest things in this world. And we would say, oh, my goodness, her Calcutta outreach and ministry is phenomenal, historic. But listen to me carefully. The rest of her quote is this. We cannot do great things in this world. We can only do small things in great love. Small things, the smallest thing, holding a door for a friend or a complete stranger, the smallest things in great love. Practicing love requires my daily attentiveness to what's going on around me. Now, immediately, I want you to understand that I'm one guy who's very painfully aware that I am not always aware of my lack of practice in love. I am painfully aware. Practice. Let's talk about practice for a moment. I play the guitar. I as a small young lad, my mom and dad tried to get me to play the piano. I tried to learn it. It was frustrating and agonizing. Why? Because I had to practice, and it seemed like the more I practiced, the worse it got. So when I would tell people, yeah, I play the piano, and then they say, oh, play a tune for us. I'd play this crappy little ugly tune, and they say, oh, I thought you played the piano. That's the point I'm making here. When I say I'm committed to the practice of love, I'm a lover. I'm not a hater. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. And somebody would say, oh, well, why don't you play me a song of love? Why don't you live me a little tune of your love? Well, You might catch me in a moment where my little tune of love is so off key. It's so horrible. It sounds like chopsticks done with a hammer. I understand that. And it's really challenging for me. I know that. And I know, you know, in years gone by when I preached on love as a pastor of a church, I'd invariably have somebody come to me and say, well, you weren't loving to me when, and then they fill in the blank. And I had to admit many times, oh, you're right. I didn't. But here again is the genius of Mother Teresa. We can't do great things with one fell swoop. We can only do small things in great love. And it's those small things, those little details, those moment-by-moment loving gestures, loving attitude, a loving word, a kind look, a smile, catching a stranger by the eye and nodding, and just being kind and friendly. It just always astonishes me when we hear of another mass shooting somewhere. We always seem to be in shock that here comes another lonely soul out of a dark basement, and they go out to do horrible, horrible deeds. It amazes me that we still don't seem to understand this didn't happen in one fell swoop in that broken soul's life. This happened in incredibly small moments of small lack of love, lack of tasting and seeing that love is real. It didn't happen all in one day. This happened over years in some souls' lives. And so it is for each of us. I forget who said it, but we're all living some slice of despair in our lives. Another quote from Mother Teresa is this, and this is where I want to wrap today's discussion up. There is more hunger for love in this world, she said. More hunger for love than there is for bread. Now, put that in its context. Mother Teresa was serving bread to the starving millions of Calcutta, India. She was feeding people by the tens of thousands, maybe the hundreds of thousands, and maybe even the millions. It's hard to even estimate how many people she fed. But she said in this context of hunger, there's more hunger for love than there is for bread. I remember as a young boy growing up, seeing on a black and white news broadcast of the United Nations going into a famine-stricken area in a third world country where the drought was just drying up every crop, and mothers couldn't nurse their babies, and farmers couldn't raise crops or keep livestock alive. And the United Nations would go in with a relief truck, and they'd have at the back of those relief trucks some kind of grain or rice or maybe a water truck. And when they would arrive in a populated area, the thousands would rush that truck. They would come running, and with little containers or large containers, people would press in on that truck, and then there would be this storming the gates, if you will. The image in my mind is of storming the gates because there's the food we're starving for. Now, I compare that image from my childhood of the UN feeding a little village or a large city. And I compare it to Mother Teresa's words when she said, there's more hunger for love than there is for bread in this world. And I am convinced that if love became our practical reality, where we practiced divine love, I am convinced that the starving masses would storm our gates. So hear me, pastors of churches and churches that are trying to figure out, how do we get people back in our doors? How do we put more butts in the pews? I'll tell you how. Make love your practice. Make love something more than a word or more than a sermon or more than a cliche, more than your bumper stickers, more than your t-shirts. Make it more than some plaque you put on your walls. Make it the determined, obedient, sacrificial practice of your church and of your ministry. You will begin to see that ship of spirituality turn slowly when love is your only goal, when Hans Urs von Balthasar's phrase is made true, that love alone is credible. When you take Mother Teresa's word to the bank, There's more hunger for love than there is for bread. And when we practice love and it becomes known that if you step into the vortex of that home, let's just take it out of a church's ideal. Let's talk about your home. If your home became the place where love is known, you will have people knocking on your door, calling your cell phone, leaving notes at your door all day, all manner of time in the day and the night, because love is the point of reference that people are starving. And should love show up and the starving masses hear there's love there, they will come like those images of the UN truck that was bringing rice or grain to a starving, famine-stricken area. They will come with whatever they got to get food. They will come to get whatever love you've got, what you're carrying, and they will run and rush to the door. That's what I see in my own life. I've asked myself over and over and over again, how do I go forward in my ministry at this stage of my life? What am I to do with who I am and how I minister? I'm no longer leading a church. I've led churches for 50 years, and now here I am in a, I hate the word retired, but it's the best word I know to describe. Here I am in some kind of retired state, and I want to know, what do I do with my life now? And I will tell you what I'll do with my life now, and that is, I'm in an earnest pilgrimage to discover the divine practice of love, so that my energies in these days can be spent. My mindset, my emotions, my contemplations, my meditations, my goals. You know, people talk about goals coming into the holidays. We're going to talk about New Year's resolutions, right? Well, in the last 2 years, my resolution has been one thing. I'm going to daily deepen my love quotient. I'm pretty sure in 2023, I'm going to repeat that New Year's resolution, to daily deepen my love quotient. How am I going to grow in how I practice divine love? A discovery of it should take me the rest of my days, and I'm convinced that when I lay my head on the pillow for the last time on this side of life, and I wake up, I'm going to wake up in the atmosphere of love, and I will discover what I hadn't discovered in the earth life when I'm in a heaven life. So to that end, I'm challenging you to join me in a couple of practices. We're going to close with this. I always come here, you know, and I say, look, if you're a little uptight, if you're feeling that loss of love, it's important to just breathe, because breathing shallow keeps you uptight. It keeps you stressed. It keeps you infuriated and hurt and miserable. So breathing is one of the ways, just physically, you can slow your mental pace and your emotional pace down. So on the count of three, I want you to practice with me. Put your feet flat on the floor. Set up as straight as you can. Put away any distractions. Don't turn off the radio. Don't or whatever device you're listening to me on. But just listen to me carefully. And on the count of three, take a deep breath, as deep as you know how. Pull it all the way down into the bottom of your lungs and hold it. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. I say this every week. Do that for 5 minutes a day, and maybe off and on for a few minutes throughout the day. But you'll find yourself slowing your mental rate down, your mental the memes that fly through your mind, the posters on the highway of your thoughts. You got 60,000 thoughts going through your head every day. Bring those thoughts to a pause and just focus on breathing. Slow it down and give yourself time to do small things with great love. And the second practice is so important to me. I can't express this strongly enough. And that is, find somebody, challenge yourself, and challenge them with the vulnerability, and yes, even the intimacy of saying with a slow, poetic lilt, I love you. You know, your children, mom, dad, your children are starved for that bread. They want to look you in the eye. They want you to look them in the eye and say, I love you. It's awkward, I know. It's even weird in some feelings. But I'm promising you that to do it with intentionality and with seriousness and with that call to a divine practice of love and that sense that I'm disciplining my thoughts and my actions to a practice that is taking me through a pilgrimage. And know that when you say, I love you, you're feeding a desperate and starving soul somewhere. A desperate and starving soul was hungry for those three magical and charmed words. And who knows what change will happen when that desperate and starving soul believes you and knows that they're absolutely, truly, beautifully, practically loved. It could start a revolution. In fact, I think it already has, because I hear this from so many of you. Well, thanks for being here with me again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love slide into the rabbit hole. They devolve into BS. And I am not here to BS you. I'm not here to bait and switch you. I am here to lead you toward love. Let's do small things with great love on this new day that's been offered us today. Now go out there and do something beautiful, right? Because we know ugly has been done to death. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.